Thank you for having me to speak again. And thank you particularly, Tony, for saying there's no visitors here today. It's nice to be considered that I belong here. That makes a home church in three states, which, when you wander like I do, having somewhere to call home as a congregation in three different states is a very nice thing. But thank you. When I was asked to share today, I didn't even know where I was starting with, so I did what is easy in my tradition and looked up the lectionary. Lectionary is a series of readings that goes through a three-year cycle, and you get most of the good bits of the Bible and you miss some of the bits that are harder to deal with and some of the boring bits. But today's readings included Jonah 3 and Mark 1, 14 to 20, which was Jesus calling the disciples. And when I read those things, I'm struck by the dramatic response that the Ninevites hear Jonah's brief proclamation. He only went one day into a city that's a three-day walk, and all he said was, 40 days and Nineveh's going to be overthrown. Chances are he mumbled. He really didn't want to do what he'd been told. And the whole of Nineveh, king down, including all the animals, fasted, put on sackcloth, put on ashes, repented, changed their ways. It's a fantastic, dramatic story. And the disciples, Jesus comes by and says, follow me. Repent and believe the good news. Follow me and I will make you fishers of humanity, fishers of people. And they leave everything. They leave their nets, they leave their family. And that means they leave their security, they leave their income, they leave their profession. But they also leave their responsibilities as well. And that's a huge thing that they've walked away from on the spot. And I hear these stories and go, wow. I'm not like that. I'm more like Jonah some days, I think. Jonah was only in Nineveh because the first time running away really didn't work for him. He tried. He tried really hard to get away. He preferred to drown, but he ended up there. And I think I've got a bit of that Jonah in me that says, oh, do I have to, God? Surely there's another way we can get around this one. And yet, from Jonah's grumpiness and minimal response, great things happened. The Ninevites, we don't really know what happened beyond their repentance. They don't turn up again in the story. The apostles had their ups and downs. And yet, 2,000 years later, here we are believing the faith that they taught. So, for all their ups and downs, they definitely got the message out. And when I looked at those two stories, I started reflecting on the idea of response to God and obedience. And that's often a dirty word today, obeying God, rather than anything else. It's not the way our society works. You just do what you're told. And the framework that's been helpful for me in thinking of this is from work. Because at work on ships, we work in a very hierarchical structure. At the end of the day, what the captain says is what you do. As long as it's a legal and reasonable command, that is what you do. And so I'll come to the cruise ship. The title for God of Master is one that most people back off at, but which I've been thinking on and would like to share a bit about. And in maritime terms, Master is not a gendered term. Sarah is the captain of Lewin here in Fremantle, and she is master of the ship. It's not about gender, it's about role of mastery over a domain, having command over that domain. She's not the mistress of Lewin. She's the master of Lewin. So please hear master not in a gendered way, but as a term that covers both and covers it quite well. Working on ships, I've worked with a variety of masters. Some I trust, some I don't trust so much. So far there's none that I wouldn't go to sea with again. And what is it I trust about people? It's their ability to know the ship, know the weather, know the crew, and to act in a way that is best for the ship and the crew. Some of the masters I've sailed with, they're a bit selfish. You know, there's one who we often end up anchored in his home port, strangely enough, because that's where he wants to go. The weather's not always favourable for doing it, but we do it, because he's the master and that's what you do. But when you go to sea with these people, you're putting your life in their hands. And so you have to trust them on some level. You're obeying them, yes, when they tell you things, but you need to trust as well. There's also captains who maybe I wouldn't trust, like the Italian cruise ship captain, who's been in the news this week for being a bad master of a vessel, for not looking after the people on his vessel, for quite possibly trying to show off and therefore ruining the vessel and losing lives. That's the sort of master who you don't quite trust. So in that context, what does it mean to call God master? If I think of God as somebody who knows the world because he made it and loves it, then that is a relationship of trust, and one which, when an order as such is given, come, follow me, that's a whole lot easier to follow, because it's not just a you do that, but it's a this is my world and this is how I want to sail my world as such. And that's encouraging. That's calling master in a trust relationship, not in a doctrinal tick the boxes, make sure you got it right, but in a knowing each other and knowing it's safe. At sea, when an order is given, I have to follow it. That's the way it is. I might not always understand why the order's been given. I might not always even agree with it. But my position is that I have to follow it. And with God, I have to know that the things that are asked when I don't understand, when I don't agree, they're asked out of love for me and for the world. Not out of any power trip, but out of love. And that makes a huge difference. When I started sailing, just as a volunteer, I had no idea what was going on. I just did what I was told. What the captain said, you do. So, you just do it. As I worked my way up the ranks and ended up first mate, you have a very different relationship with the captain, because you're their second in command. And together, in many ways, you're running the ship. And that's also an interesting reflection on faith. When we first come to faith, as kids or as adults, just responding is the best way. The disciples said, we're told, come follow me, so they did. I wonder how, as they grew to know Jesus, that changed. But what I found is the relationship that changed for me in getting to know the captains more closely, although I might argue a bit more, and I do, because we know each other and have a relationship, that's okay, and at the end of the day, what the captain says still goes, but I know I've been heard, and I've sometimes seen decisions change. Because I've placed my case and said, actually, here is why I would do it this way. And the master, the captain, will say, yeah, all right, we'll do it that way. That's a good plan for today. And I think that happens in our faith as well, as we get to know God as loving, as caring. We're more free to voice our opinions and know that they're heard, even if they're not always agreed with. On all ships, we have something called standing orders. What they are is a list of what the captain wants you to do, whether you're there or not, whether he's there or not, or she's there or not. And before you join a ship, you read the master's standing orders and you sign them to say, I will do this. It includes all sorts of things like you'll wear shoes on deck and, you know, safety instructions, how the ship's to be managed, what different weather conditions result in what outcomes, stuff like that. But the idea of the standing orders is that they're guidelines to make sure we all stay safe and that we all make it to our home port at the end of the voyage. And that's something I'm still thinking on. If God is master, which is one of the ways of thinking of God, there are many, what are God's standing orders? Is that then what the law was and is? God's, this is how I want us all to safely make it home. In which case, they're worth listening to. It's easy to think of them as thou shalt not. But if they're the safety guidelines, then they're worth following, even though I do tend to argue with them. And I think the best part is the standing orders always say, if in any doubt whatsoever, call the master. I think that's a great line for life. If in any doubt whatsoever, call the master. And I've worked with a captain who I said to him one morning, I nearly woke you up, George. The ship was fine, we weren't dragging the anchor, there's no problems, but I was really doubting the decision I was making, and I very nearly got you out of bed for a good long talk. And the thing is, he would have got up and had a good long talk. If God is master, if in any doubt whatsoever, call the master. It's a really powerful thought that I'm mulling over still, but it's worth it. And God doesn't get sleep deprived, so it's much easier to call him. God is master, it's something I mull over. It's a hard title for God in our day and age, I think. But it can also be a really rich concept of relationship and of trust. the Ninevites and the disciples, their response was so absolute. Repentance, sackcloth, ashes, even the animals will fast. Leave it all and follow. Yeah, I admire that. I hope I can be that some days. But even when we're not like that, when we're doing a Jonah and saying, well, if I have to, because running away didn't work, God is still a God of love and compassion, and what God asks of us is out of love for us. Sometimes that's hard to believe, that God works for the good of all those who love him. I can't always see that, I'll admit it. It's easy to question it, it's difficult to trust it. And that trust for me is a work in progress, and probably for most of you too. Some days we'll have our Jonah moments where we try and do a runner. Some days we'll have our disciple moments where we say absolutely, and then later get known for having strong tempers, telling Jesus how we should not go to Jerusalem and other such things. Some days we have our Ninevite moments where, for that moment, it's a complete response. And we don't know what happened beyond that, but we know that Nineveh heard and responded. And for me to remember in all of this, it's God at work, not me. That when God calls out of compassion and love and says, this is how I want you to live, this is what I want you to do and be, it's not a dictatorial thing, it's a, here is how we can flourish, here is how we can grow, here is how I love you. And when I remember that is when the psalm comes so true. In God alone is rest for my soul, from him comes my safety. God alone is my rock, my safety, my stronghold, so that I stand unshaken. And they're my thought starters for today.